sympathy, empathy, and compassion. They're all related, but they're different. Sympathy can be defined as simply feeling sorrow for someone, shedding a tear, having some pity, being moved, being broken for them. Sympathy, it's good. We need more sympathy in the world. But sympathy is not enough. Sympathy must grow into empathy. Empathy can be defined as the capacity to understand or feel what another person is experiencing, to walk in their shoes, you could say, from within their frame of reference. It is the capacity to place oneself in another's position. It's not just, I feel sorry for you, but I've been there. Or I could be there. I have suffered like you, or I could suffer like you. That's empathy. But then, at the top, there's compassion. Compassion is sympathy and empathy in action. It's sympathy and empathy working together to bring about a desired result. It is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. That is what compassion is. We can cry all the tears we want for people and feel so sorry for them and tell them, we know what it's like, but if we don't do something to help them, we're missing the mark. Compassion is where sympathy and empathy should lead us. I'm going to show you a little clip that's from Russia. And there's an elderly woman standing at the bus stop. And there's a man coming behind her. I think he's trying to steal her groceries. And like many men in Russia, he seems to be drunk. Okay. And so what he plans to do doesn't happen the way he wishes it. Okay. And here we see the absence, complete absence of sympathy, the absence of empathy, and the absence of compassion. Poor drunk man runs into the wall. He falls down. She turns around and beats him up. The absence. There's a lot of that, not just in Russia, but here in America too. Oswald Chambers said, to picture Jesus Christ as one who sits down beside the brokenhearted and by expression of fellow feeling, I feel with you, an overflowing tenderness enables him to be resigned, that means the person suffering, and submissive to his lot, is not only thoroughly to misunderstand our Lord, but to prevent his doing what he came to do. Jesus did not come just to sympathize with us, or just to feel our burdens, which he does. He does come to the brokenhearted, to the captives bound by a cursed hereditary tendency, to the blind who grope for light, to the man bruised and crushed by his surroundings, but he does not come as a sympathizer. He binds up the brokenhearted, gives release to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind. He sets at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus Christ is not a mere sympathizer. He is a Savior. His sympathy is the accompaniment of the work that he alone can do. Sympathy is good. Empathy is better. Compassion is best. And we find all of that in Jesus Christ. As Christians, we want more than to have sympathy for the lost, for the poor, for the sick. Missionary to Africa in the 19th century, David Livingston, whose heart is buried there in Africa, he said, sympathy is no substitute for action. It is no substitute for action. Yet we think because we can shed a tear and wish people well that we've done our Christian duty. No. Sympathy must lead to empathy. Empathy must lead to compassion. It starts with sympathy. God gives the believer a new heart, a soft heart, one that is easily broken, one that easily feels for other people. In Exodus 2, chapter 2, verse 24, God heard their groaning, the groaning of the Israelites in bondage for 400 years, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. He felt sympathy for their bondage. If you're living in sin, God has sympathy for you. But if that's all he has, you'd be lost. The world needs more than God's sympathy. It needs his empathy and compassion. Sympathy is good. Empathy is better. Compassion is the best. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters and oppressors. For I know their sorrows and sufferings and trials. That's empathy. I know. I feel their sufferings, their trials. And I have come down. That is compassion. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, the land of slavery, to a land good and large, a land flowing with milk and honey. Sympathy is good, but it wasn't going to help the Israelites. Okay? Sympathy does not save anyone. Okay? It must lead to empathy. It must lead to compassion. We are commanded to have empathy on people. Again, empathy is better than sympathy. Remember them that are in bonds, said the Apostle Paul in Hebrews. Remember them that are in prison, as bound with them. That's empathy. And them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. We are to weep with those who weep, laugh with those who laugh. Remember them that are in prison, as one who was bound with them. Again, to the Jews, the Lord writes through Moses, thou shalt not oppress a stranger. For you know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Have empathy for the stranger. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers unaware. You may have an angel unaware. Do not forget to entertain the stranger. Why? We were once strangers. The Bible says we were once aliens to the covenant of God's grace. We were foreigners to God. We were his enemies. And he showed mercy upon us. Again, to Israel, through Leviticus, if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, and you shall not vex them, not trouble them, but the stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Again, empathy. This is a picture of a suit called the empathy suit. It has a more technical name, right? There have been a number of empathy suits offered. I saw one where a man has to dress up as a pregnant woman. He wears this heavy weight, okay? And he's supposed to have empathy for the pregnant woman, okay? To feel as she does with all this extra weight, hard to get up, hard to sit down. Well, this suit is very technical. It is to reveal to the wearer what an old person feels like. It narrows their vision. It adds extra weight. The joints move as if it has arthritis. Okay. Growing old. To have empathy on the caregiver for the elderly. Geoffrey Fowler, journalist with the Wall Street Journal, put on that suit, and he said, the unforgettable and at times distressing experience shed light not just on aging, but also how virtual reality equipment can teach empathy and shape our perceptions of the world around us. And of course, wearing the empathy suit would be of no good unless we help the elderly. Not just say, hey, you know, I wore that suit the other day. I know exactly how you feel. That's not going to help the person with arthritis, okay, growing old. But empathy is good. Charles Spurgeon said, oh, the joy of continually entering into fellowship with Christ in such a way that you never lose his empathy. Why? Because he put on our flesh. He knows what we feel like. He became a man. Okay? And so he has empathy. He knows exactly how we suffer. Be this yours, this empathy, beloved, every day and all the day. See, if we find someone in distress, broken, hurting, they've lost something or someone, we feel first sympathy. And say, I feel sorry for you. I wish this never happened to you. But as Christians, we begin to empathize with them. You know, I've been there with you. Or I could be. Tomorrow I could be without a job. Tomorrow I could be diagnosed with a fatal disease. And we empathize with that person. And that helps. Sympathy helps the person. Empathy helps the person. But then compassion says, how can I help you? What can I do to resolve your difficulty? I can give you a job. I can help you find a job. I can drive you here. I can do many things. That's compassion, reaching out to those who are hurting. Those who follow the Lord must have sympathy, must have empathy, and must have compassion. Job had all of that. He says, I was eyes to the blind, and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I took up the cause or the case of the stranger. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. I didn't just say to the blind, well, I'm sorry you're blind. I could be blind someday too, so I feel pity for you. No, I was eyes to the blind. He didn't just say to the lame, I'm sorry, you can't walk. No, but let me be your feet. He didn't say to the orphan, the fatherless, I'm sorry for you. No, but let me be your father. He took up the case of the stranger. He broke the fangs or the teeth of the wicked. He snatched the victims from their teeth. This is compassion. Oh, friends, let us grow to be more like Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Philippians, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. You want an empathy suit? You want a compassion suit? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have sympathy, you will have empathy, you will have compassion. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Sympathy and empathy on the part of Jesus Christ, but that wasn't enough to save us. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The sympathy and the empathy and the compassion that Jesus has for us led him to the cross. I feel pity for these lost sheep. I'm sorry for their condition. I'm going to go down and feel what they feel, despised and rejected of men. But that's not all. Now I must do something to rescue them. I must go to the cross. Paul wrote to the Colossians and said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves. Here is our empathy suit, our suit of compassion. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Put on, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things he had to be made like unto his brethren. He had to be made like us, so he could empathize with us. He didn't have to be made like us to have sympathy, but to empathize, he had to. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, there's the compassion. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to rescue them that are tempted. Jesus, filled with sympathy, empathy, and compassion. William Barclay comments on Hebrews chapter 2. He came as a man. He came seeing things with men's eyes, feeling things with men's feelings, thinking things with men's minds. God knows what life is like because God came right inside life. Jesus Christ is not remote, detached, and disinterested, nor insulated, isolated from our lives. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. He can see us, see in us a reflection of what he experienced as a man. He can thus extend mercy to us, completely understanding what we are going through. Remember this lady. She does not see the man until he falls behind her. She knows nothing of, maybe it's her husband, I don't know. She knows nothing of what he's up to. She turns around. He's on the ground. Sir, do you need any help? Oh, you're hungry? You can have a loaf of my bread. Oh, let me call an ambulance. No, I'm just going to beat you up. No sympathy. No empathy. No compassion. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. No, we have sympathy. We should have sympathy for a hungry soul who steals. We do not despise. A person has to eat, even if he's drunk. And then Solomon says, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Remember last time how David, Psalm 35, he said the enemy came against him and he wept for them as if they were his mother. He treated them as if they were his friends and brother. That's compassion. Paul says in Romans, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. That's sympathy. For whom? For his kinsmen according to the flesh, the Israelites. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Sympathy, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, the Israelites. That's empathy. Apostle here exhibits sympathy and sorrow in his heart and empathy that he would be accursed, he would take their place, but yet he cannot take their place. Does that mean he ends with empathy? No. There's something he can do for his kinsmen who are accursed because of their sin. We read in Acts 9 when he, the Apostle Paul, had received food. He was strengthened. then was Saul, or he was called Saul, certain days with his disciples that were at Damascus, and immediately, straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. I have a continual sorrow in my heart for my Jewish brothers and sisters who are growing up in the strict regimen of the law, which cannot save them. I would be a curse for them. You know what? I don't have to be a curse for them. I can, in compassion, do something for them. I can tell them about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, a certain man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves. They beat him up, stripped him, left him to die. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Do you know that priest could have had sympathy for him? He could have stood there for a moment and said, I feel sorry for you. He could have had empathy for the man and said, you know, I've been there. I've been beaten up. But he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. He too could have felt sympathy and shed a tear. Shook his head. Oh, what a terrible world we live in. But he too passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. Sympathy, yes. Empathy, yes. Because he put him on his beast of burden. He put him on his horse, or his donkey, or his camel, whatever it was. He had compassion on him. I feel sorry for this man. I know what it's like to be attacked, to be alone, to be forsaken. So what can I do? Compassion says, I must help him. Sympathy and empathy was not going to save this man who was beaten. He had compassion on him. He went to him. And he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. That's sympathy. That's good. Empathy, that's better. But the best is compassion. And I'd like us to stand and close with a song that comes out of Maranatha back in the 70s called Charity. Although I speak with tongues of men and of angels, though I prophesy and understand all, although I have all faith, so mountains may be removed, and though I feed the poor and give up my life, if I have not charity, if I have not love, I am nothing. Let us sympathize with those who are lost in sin. Let us sympathize for those who are in pain, who are sick, who are dying. Let's empathize with them. Let us feel their pain. But let us do more. Let us relieve their predicament if we can. Let us relieve their suffering, especially with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That relieves the greatest deal of suffering, to know you're headed towards heaven, that your life is secure, your soul is eternal and secure, as Paul preached to those he would gladly be a curse for, but could not help. I can help one way, to bring them the message of Jesus. Charity. Let us be filled with charity. Although I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and though I prophesy and understand all, although I have all faith, so mountains may be removed, and though I feed the poor and give up my life, if I have not charity, if love does not flow from me, I have nothing. Jesus reduced me to love. Love is pain.
not envious, not proud, but gentle and meek, seeks not its own way. Love sings when Jesus prevails, believes and endures all things. Love hopes and bears every wrong, and love never fails. If I have not charity, if love does not flow from me, I am nothing. Jesus, reduce me to love. One season I was a child. I spoke and I thought as a child. But when I turned to a man, such ways put aside. Though now we see through a glass, but then we shall see face to face. Though now of my faith and hope, the greatest is love. If I have not charity, if love does not flow from me, I am nothing. Jesus, reduce me to love. Jesus, reduce me to love. Jesus, reduce me to love.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not envious. Not proud, but gentle and meek. Seeks not its own way. Love sings when Jesus prevails. Believes and endures all things. Love hopes and bears every wrong. Bears every wrong. Love never fails. Oh, to be filled with the love of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your sympathy. Jesus, we thank you for your empathy. And Father, Son, and Spirit, we thank you for your compassion. That you came down to rescue us. You came to fill us with yourself. Oh, Lord, how we need to show sympathy, empathy, and compassion to others. Let us not pass by on the other side as the priest and Levite did. Let us not stop at shedding a sympathetic tear. Let us not cease at just feeling for a person. No, let us, as the Samaritan did, go to that person. Bind up their wounds. Pour in the oil and wine. Take them to the inn. Spend our money on them. Spend time with them. This is compassion. And we are commanded to love one another as you loved us. With sympathy, empathy, and compassion. Fill us with that, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome.